May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just contemplating still Pentecost for CTKers. We'll be doing that for a while as we go through the book of Acts. But I was thinking about this passage in Luke chapter 11. It says in verse 9, well, let me just read this to you. I think Mike Hutchings referred to this last week, but as you continue, this is verse 5. And he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. But I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness or his audacity, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, keep asking, and it shall continually be given to you. Keep seeking, and you shall continually find. Keep knocking, and it shall continually be opened to you. For everyone who keeps asking keeps receiving, and everyone who keeps seeking keeps finding. And to him who keeps knocking, it shall be opened continually. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father continually give the Holy Spirit to those who continually ask him? It's a great passage. And I guess I just thought about that in terms of some of the things that we've seen and referenced already in the book of Acts and how the Lord told them to wait. It ended up being 10 days, but what he said to them was, after these many days, the Holy Spirit will come. And he uses the reference of it being a promise. And that's just so significant. God's ministered to me so much with that, because they weren't going into a place begging God to give something to them that he was reluctant to give. Again, it says in Acts chapter 1, he says in verse 4, and gathering them together, he commands them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which you have heard from me. In verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And they go and wait, and they have one heart praying for that. And it says they were gathered together in one place on Pentecost, and then this language, and suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues like fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. I think I referenced this a couple of weeks ago, but it's really important that you understand that there's nothing more extraordinary, more rewarding, more filling, fulfilling than a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus' life and the power of Jesus' life real to us and in us. But the indication through the book of Acts and what it says in Luke chapter 11, it's not just a one-time thing. We keep asking for the more. We've talked about that a bunch over the last couple of years, praying for more, impartation, but we should keep asking for the more. And usually the way it happens is as we put ourselves in position before the Lord, knowing that we have a promise. Now, not the initial filling promise, but the promise of Luke chapter 11, that if you'll keep asking, he'll keep giving. And if we keep asking for the Holy Spirit, he'll keep giving us more and more experientially of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the language that he uses there, violent rushing wind, noisy, fire, there's nothing safe about it. And so we like the idea of being filled with the Spirit and being continually filled with the Spirit and receiving and experiencing the power of Christ to live a supernatural Christian life. But sometimes I don't think we think through the kind of shaking, the kind of rearranging, the kind of holy violence that happens inside of us as we give him permission to take over more and more and more. But everything about the language, about Pentecost, and about being filled with the Holy Spirit, is kind of transforming. Fire, noise, violent rushing wind. And when God does something like that, when there's a fresh filling, as you wait before him, and then there's a suddenly, it's going to be holy violence. It's going to be shaking things up. It's going to be fire. There's going to be changes in you. If you're not prepared for that, then don't ask for it. But here's something that I think is interesting, is that they didn't just wait before the Lord. The way they postured themselves in waiting before the Lord, not just in anticipation, because it was a promise, not just a hope, but a promise. In Luke chapter 24, the one who wrote the gospel, the book of Acts, so the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts is connected. He says this about them after Jesus' ascension. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They weren't just 10 days humming, oh Lord, please come. They lived with anticipation, but they lived with radical faith. They were praising God because God had promised. It wasn't an issue whether they were going to get it. They were just praising God and blessing God every day. And then the suddenly happened and it became their experience. There's a lot of that things in this passage for us. You know, if God gives you a promise and yet you haven't seen it manifest in the natural yet, in your time in prayer before him, as you wait before him, don't spend time begging him for that. Spend time praising him for it, thanking him for it. He's already promised. You don't need to talk him into promising. He's already promised. If it's a promise, you can just have an attitude of worship and praise before him. And in that attitude of worship and praise, God will do some shifts in you. He'll change some things in you. He'll teach you some things about faith. And when it's his time for it to be manifested, there'll be a suddenly. That'll change your life, for sure. And if particularly you're longing for more of the Spirit, maybe you've been filled with the Spirit, experienced fresh fillings many times, and yet God promises more. That so excited me this morning. I mean, there's more, and then after that, there's more again, and then after that, there's more again and more again. It's like the Lord said, now, if you're prepared for more shaking, more noisiness in your life, more holy, violent, rushing wind, Holy Spirit's like this wind, it blows where it wills, and it blows violently, it does things in us. If you're ready for more fire, now if you want to just collect your Social Security check spiritually the rest of your life, just sit on the spiritual rocking chair and take it easy, play it safe. But if you're ready for fire, for shaking, for violent wind, for noisiness in your life, he says, then just start praising me for the more. Just because I promise, just keep praising me for the more. And I'll use that. I'll so posture you that there'll be a suddenly. So Pentecost is past, but Pentecost is ahead. Pentecost is today. Pentecost is tomorrow. Pentecost is like Easter. It's every day. There's always more. Just keep asking him for more. He'll just keep giving you more. But it's in the attitude of praising him and being prepared for the violent shaking that's going to come. But is it worth it? To me, it is. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.